Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Grey Leopard Code with Gary Norris Gray. Gary will be coming to you each Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking sports live on GLC.
Thanks to William Rudolph and Elise Coastman, black women athletes.
Pacific and Jack and Phil, the best black women that ever
did. Life is the eyes of a black athlete. The pilgrimage to read the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete. The pilgrimage to read the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete. The pilgrimage to read the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete. The pilgrimage to read the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete. The pilgrimage to read the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete. The pilgrimage to read the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete. The pilgrimage to read the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete. The pilgrimage to read the agony of defeat.
BlackAthlete.com. And that's Black History Month. We are in the second week of Black History Month. And you gotta listen to that song. It tells you sports, black history, sports, black history, all through that song. That's why it's great. And well, Rodgers were writing that great lyrics. I hope somebody picks it up and makes it into a record soon. Welcome to Jennifer Cove. I'm gonna ask Greg. Go at 646-727-3649. We are sponsored by the Reality Sports Group in Raleigh, Virginia. D.Y. Flores Market, D.Y.E.'s El Torito, 510-235-1233. New England Informer, Restoring Ways, D.O. Boston, Michael Ingram, BSN Social Radio and Raw, and soon. WZM 1450, and WZM Radio Online.com. With this sports talk, sports writer, activist Pat Freeman, the Mighty Oba, and the UFO, and 80, Buffalo, New York, and Aaron Rodgers, CEO, BSN, New York. We can't forget the 609 and 707. Join the Gold Caravan, a Gold Patrol, and Asian, and WCNM on Facebook.com. Visit the website at BlackAthlete.com and get a different look at sports. Also, Travis Singleton, the young gun. With Kicks for Grades, you get great A's, you get a new pair of sneakers out of the Boston area. That's Travis Singleton. Go on Facebook.com and look him up. He's doing a good job. Don't forget, it's show 392, 8 more to go, 400. Don't forget St. Valentine's Day. Tomorrow afternoon, Wildfire Buckles in Room and the Anthology Show. As you know, yesterday, they told you right there, the opening ceremonies of the Winter Games. We'll get to that later. I don't know, it's Black History Month. I'm Ethan Luke, the forgotten man of Major League Baseball. Larry Doby, of the Cleveland Indians. The first African-American to play in the American Leagues. He was a forgotten man because all the attention was drawn by Jackie Robinson. He was a forgotten man because because Jackie was a star. And we were not. So we salute Larry Doby and the Cleveland Indians. The second week of Black History Week. And next week we have somebody else, a new star. Also, like you know, that there are only 9 players left from the 1955 World Champion Brooklyn Dodgers. Only 9 left. The record-breaking, historical-making Brooklyn Dodgers. Bob Bukowski, Roger Craig, who coached the Tennessee Titans, Carl Erskine, Sandy Koufax, a real young Sandy Koufax, Tommy Lasorda, Don Newcomb, Ed Roebuck, George Scuba, and Don Zimmer, who was the coach of the Chicago Cubs back in the 70s and 80s. The last Dodger to pass away was Duke Snyder last year, February 27th, 2011. Duke Snyder, last one of the 1955 Brooklyn Dodgers, historical Brooklyn Dodgers. Okay. We go on. The commissioner of basketball retired. Step down. Whatever. David Stern. Historical icon. Changed the game of the National Basketball Association. Back in the late, in the middle 80s, they delayed playoff games. He changed that. He's a lucky man, because when he came in, attendance was down. Quality of play was down. And ownership was down. He came in the Magic Bird, Larry Bird era, and it changed the NBA. It was East Coast, West Coast, Showtime against blue collar, black against white. Perfect foil for David Stern to make the NBA what it is today. He introduced a three-point play. He also ushered in the Jordan era. And we also know what really happened in Indianapolis, Indiana. The night that man, world of peace. But I'm going to stand as a fan. Poured beer on him, I would go after him too. He poured beer on me, we were going to have a fight. And man, world peace did what he's supposed to do, beat the guy up. But man, world peace got the bad end of the deal, he got suspended. Stern also created the world popularity of the game in China. With Yao Ming, Jeremy Lin, and other Chinese players. Also, the Eastern European bloc, led by Vali Divac, among others. The NBA did very well with David Stern as commissioner of the NBA. Oh, yeah, the NFL. Here we go. The NFL is on the book as they schedule a full slate of Thursday games, most of which you fans cannot see unless you have cable. Or if you buy the NFL Network. If you have the NFL Network, you will not be seeing the Thursday games. So what does the NBA do? What did the NFL do? They added 5 more Thursday night games on CBS. So you will get half of the Thursday night games, not all of them. And you tell me, after you play a Sunday game, you gotta turn around and play a Thursday game. That's what I mean about the NFL speaking with forked tongue. They're concerned about players' health, but yet you schedule like this. You should be ashamed of yourself. But I guess not. The 1970 women's tennis star Billie Jean King did not go to Russia because her mother was very ill, but many thought she would not attend anyway because of the Russian government's stance on gay rights. Many gay American athletes are troubled by going to Sochi, Russia this year. They're afraid they go outside the Olympic Village, they might get arrested. The Russian government said that they would not arrest anybody the next 3 weeks. That's good news. In other words, you better stay in the Olympic Village if you're gay. Sad episode in the world of sports. Well, one last time, we get to hear these songs. We're tired of this. Seattle Seahawks dismantled the Denver Broncos. they undermine everything they ever had to do. It's the fastest score in 12 seconds in Super Bowl history. The youngest quarterback, Russell Wilson, with his first Super Bowl, 24 years old, and he joins Doug Williams as second black quarterback to win Super Bowl. And you notice that nobody thought about that all week long. They were avoiding the Russell Wilson subject. It was like a Seahawks home game with the noise. I could barely hear everybody get it. Where the noise coming from? It was loud. And Seattle fans brought the 12th man to New York. And it confused, and the Denver Broncos could hear. I believe it caused that fumble in the first 12 seconds. And then, Michael Smith missed the MVP with two interceptions, one touchdown, and Trophy folks, the Seahawks are not going away. They will be back again another day. This team is all these young players, young stars, they're going to be back for a long time. So congratulations to the Seattle Seahawks, world champion, the Great Northwest. On Tuesday, on signing day, the Florida State Seminoles had a great day, signing 8 five-star high school players. Only Alabama had a better signing day. So once again, Alabama won, Florida State 2 in signing Adley's high school. Now, it would be interesting to see if any of these guys would go to the network and put out an end to that. Or A&T, look at A&T hat. Or Alabama State Hornet hat. Or a Grambling State Tiger hat. Or a Southern Jaguar hat. These young African-American men need to go back to the HBCUs because, folks, it's a one-year contract. Not 4 years. Every year you got to sign the contract every year, once a year. You go to HBCUs, you will graduate. You go to a four-year school like Alabama. You get injured, bye-bye. See ya. I know you're here, bye. Until we found it in the seat, they want to be on TV. That's all fine. But you need to get education. That's what HBCUs do. They give you education. You might get hurt playing basketball. You might get hurt playing football. But you will get education. You get hurt at USC. You get hurt at Michigan. You get hurt at Penn State. And see what happens. You will not get a scholarship. And that's what these young men don't understand. They don't get it. They don't get it. On Wednesday, the city of Seattle played their world champion Seahawks in the cold, in the rain, Medicare. Congratulations to the Seahawks as they paraded on Wednesday. 555 teachers did not show up to work that day. And over 2,000 students did not go to school that day. Well, Eddie Borod would have called school off that day because none of people were going to go to school. So congratulations to the Seattle Seahawks and the field general, Russell Wilson, on a great championship on Wednesday parade. Thursday, sad news from New York area. As broadcaster Ralph Kiner, at age 91, passed away in New York. He was the broadcaster for the old New York Mets, WOR Channel 9, television, Kiner's Corner, with interviews of the winning team, winning players that day, that night. And he had a gentle spirit. The way he interviewed people, he knew what he was talking about. He played outfield for the Pirates in 1946, the Cubs, ended with the Green Indians in 1955. Kiner was an all-star and all-famer before he became the New York Mets flagship station announcer in 1962. He only trails 200 icons in broadcasting. That's Vince Scully of the LA Dodgers and Yemi Yaren, the Spanish Dodger broadcaster in Los Angeles. There are only two left. Vince Scully and Yemi Yaren of the LA Dodgers. And they're talking about Vince Scully retiring. This is going to be the home games at Dodger Stadium. Kiner is already in the Mets Hall of Fame as he broadcast the two World Series championships and the many playoff games. There's sad news in University campus of Cal Berkeley as one of his own passes away during a training mission yesterday afternoon. Ed Agu passed away running track up at Strawberry Canyon. They called 911. Tried CPR. Nothing worked. 21-year-old linebacker for the University of California Golden Bears in the city of Berkeley in the morning today. The loss of one of his great stars, fifth year senior Teddy Agu. Alex Rodriguez, that's the legal proceedings. And now the questions will begin. Did he get paid off? Did the MLB PA totally get lost? Did the Players Association totally start the fight for other players after him? And has baseball learned its lesson? I doubt it. Alex Rodriguez will not play a game next year. Alex Rodriguez will not be wearing a Yankee uniform ever again. On Friday, Very interesting thing happened on ESPN on Friday. They had four African American Seattle Seahawks on their show. And knowing the political gender of ESPN, I thought, oh, here we go. But it was a cordial invitation by ESPN. It was interesting. These black players took a jab at one of ESPN's announcers, Mel Kiper. If you recall, Mel Kiper said that the 2011 draft choice were the worst in NFL history. Well, guess what, Mel Kiper? That 2011 draft choices are now wearing Super Bowl rings. Where are you at? It was very interesting that ESPN invited the four Seattle Seahawks to their station. It's very interesting that you haven't seen Mel Kiper all weekend. So maybe ESPN getting the word. You can't keep playing this game. And then again, we all know better than that. Back to reality. Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Hernandez, goes to court in Massachusetts court on alleged murder charge. The defense wanted to get all the recordings of his phone conversations. The judge dismissed the motion. The trial will start in June 16th. The police have yet to find the murder weapon. The first witness in the case will be Hernandez's girlfriend. That's going to be interesting. Aaron Hernandez has a long way to go. Aaron Hernandez still could face 30 years in jail. But the police had to find the weapon, but it didn't. Moving on to hockey. The Pittsburgh Penguins star Chris Letang will miss 6 to 8 weeks as he suffered a stroke on Friday in practice. But the Penguins are lucky because 3 weeks will be in Canada. Letang only missed 2 to 3 weeks. The Montreal Canadiens, this was the strangest day that I've ever seen. The Montreal Canadiens were playing the Vancouver Canucks. Mike Piccirilli scored the hat trick, but that was the case. Piccirilli missed 2 penalty shot in 1 game, and it's difficult to get 1 penalty shot a game. He missed 2. So, historical moment in the NHL as Montreal wins 5-2. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver attended his first game in Sacramento. And he stated right away that he wasn't a rival the NFL, just like with that. On Saturday, the U.S. hockey team, which they did a good job, the U.S. hockey team began their quest for gold as they defeated Finland. Well, actually, yes, last night, but it's today because 60 hours ahead. So, U.S. is on the right way, right track. Other NFL news, the Cleveland Browns. Now, folks, the city of Cleveland and not won a championship since 1962. And the Cleveland Browns are doing it again. They signed Kyle Shanahan, offensive coordinator. And my question to the Cleveland organization is, did you not see what happened to the Washington Football Club the last 3 years? The Browns have taken a step backwards with this hire. And now they'll know after game 3 of the season, they will know. The Cleveland Cavaliers, see, this is what I'm about. Cleveland, your fan base is in trouble. Sorry, Cavaliers fired their general manager, Chris Grant, after one of the craziest losses I've ever seen. The LA Lakers had 8 players dressed. 2 players got injured, 1 player got fouled. Now, one player who fell out, they had only 4 players on the floor. Now, the NFL rule is that if that player fouled, he got technical foul, you do the free throws, and he get the ball. Here's the idea. You have 4 players fouled, and you get the other guy to come back in. If he fouls, they don't get the ball back. That was doubt the nonsense. As we continue, Dan Gilbert and their sports fan base will continue to suffer as enough sports teams like the Cleveland Cavaliers, and now their star player wanted to leave Cleveland. I guess why not? And you think LeBron James will come back there? I doubt that. Other sad news is my favorite player. Curt Schilling has been diagnosed with cancer. It's sad news because maybe this will humble him. I doubt that too. Because Schilling has said some really bad things about other players. Players of color specifically. And maybe this will humble him. And think about what he said the past 10 years. He criticized Ray Bonds. Without even saying a word about McGuire. He criticized David Sosa. Without saying a word about Rafael Palmeiro. Yeah, I don't mind if he criticized any people, but he has to do it both ways. And Curt Schilling has not done that. That's why I don't like the guy. Because he is honest. He's honest, he would go on both sides, and this is the right thing that Divine Baseball has, which I knew was coming. So, certainly I hope you're recovering, but I think you need to take a new look on life and what you said about other people. And take a break. We'll go with my girl. Of course, my girl, Alicia Keys, in New York. Thank you.
What's up, Big G? How you doing, my friend?
Yeah, good job, David. Yeah, good job. Yo, I like the way WCNM encourages young people to get involved with sports. WCNM, you guys
doing
a job down here in Virginia, encouraging young people to do their thing.
Well, thank you. And like I told on Mike's show, I don't know if Mike followed up on what I said earlier, it's really a shame when you have a high school coach that wins back-to-back state championship, but he tells the parents it's not his responsibility to get their children into college, and I think that's deplorable. And the sad thing about it, you have to wonder about the parents. You know, when they hear this, why they not demand excellence in the classroom? Why they not demanding that this person be fired? I mean, do we have to sell our souls for him to have a state championship at the expense of our youth, getting a 1.2, 1.3 grade point average? And they have three young men at their school that have letters of intent to go to Norfolk State. But check it out. We don't even know if they got the grades or not. So the financial statements, what you need to look at. And they don't have the academic requirements. They're not going nowhere. And you know yourself, G, you got two choices. You don't have a trade skill, any means to make money. What do? You do what you have to do. And
right.
Do what you have to do, you end up in where you don't want to be in, that's prison.
And these kids don't understand, when you go to USC, when you go to Michigan State, when you go to Penn State, if you get injured, guess what? You ain't playing and you ain't going to school.
You better believe it, because that's why we have Coach Richard McPhee of Atlee. He has not one, not two, but three young men going to Division I schools, and one of them had to be Florida State, and he knows Jimbo Fisher personally. So I tell people, I have a pipeline of people who already know how to get people into the big-time schools, but we have some Negroes out here, some black folks get mad and jealous and get an attitude when you're trying to help, and they look at you like, what do you think you're doing? You're in the way.
But what did he buy a Super Bowl, bro? What did he buy about Bill General, Russell Wilson doing his thing over Denver Broncos?
Well, you know, Russell and Michael Robinson are both from the 804, and Percy Harvin, who electrified the game with that kickoff return and also that first play, is from the 757. So we here in Virginia represented very well, I must say, in the Super Bowl.
Yes,
you know, and they talk about the great state of Florida athletes, they talk about the great state of Texas, but how about the 804, the 757 of VA? You know, we represented pretty darn well up here in Virginia, so we're smiling the whole time. But, you know, I want to go back to that first play where the ball was hiked for Denver and they got that safety. If you notice, everybody on the other team stood there and the whole offensive line moved. Now, you can't blame the center for that. That was Peyton Manning's fault. They tried to throw the center under the boat and everybody, but the whole offensive line moved. And I'm like, why isn't nobody making any statement like that? And what really upsets me is that Russell Wilson family was there, and not once did they show his wife or his family.
No.
Wonder why, G. I wonder why.
Well, again, that's a political agenda. ESPN invited four of the Seattle Seahawks into their studio, right?
I saw it.
All four were African American.
Yes, sir.
So it's very easy to watch the show with these four guys on ESPN. And they took a jab at Mel Kiper. They took a real jab at Mel Kiper. Because remember back in 2011, Mel Kiper said it was the worst draft pick in years. Well, guess what? Negro guys are now world champions.
Thank you. See, again, they have an agenda at the Fuller Network because, again, we don't give them no credit here, no free advertising. They have their agenda. And more athletes, and that's why I'm glad my man Williams from Seattle Seahawks took Skip Punk Bayless on. I'm glad he slapped him up. I wish more people would take Stephen A. Smith on because Stephen Smith could be loud and brow. But when it came to Joe Paterno's son being there, he did not open his mouth.
What was
all this attacking? But yet when black athletes come there, all of a sudden he want to get up in somebody's grill and talk a bunch of ish.
Yep.
You know, that's the problem I have. If you're going to be consistent, you know, it's because a European in front of you, all of a sudden now you want to be scared. And this man's father, again, I say alleged, I didn't say did, but alleged, let a man do the one of the most heinous crimes is to attack young people, and you don't open your mouth and attack him. I mean, no, I don't roll like that. The bottom line, I don't care what color y'all, if you're wrong, you're wrong. And, hey, if I see you doing something wrong, the bottom line, you know, we got so many people that got their political agenda, so many people that got their pockets. I mean, I love Ray Lewis. God, I love Ray Lewis. I love him. But Ray Lewis turned silent on my man Sherman Williams. The way they attacked him at the Super Bowl and Ray Lewis is silent, that tells you the power of money.
Well, it's not black power, it's not white power, it's green power.
Thank you. And I got to say this, man. You know, Ray Lewis is one of the baddest linebackers out there. Michael Robinson, they showed Michael Robinson in the NFL. Michael Robinson came to the home of Seattle and planted a helmet right on Ray Lewis and knocked Ray Lewis out. I was in shock. I said, I never seen that one before. But he was one of the full linebackers that went in there and popped Ray Lewis. And Ray Lewis got up and said, boy, that number 26 is something.
Hey, what's going on at Virginia State? Well, did you
got the email I sent you about the study that Virginia State did today, right?
Yeah.
Well, basically, Virginia State hired an independent lawyer out of Washington, D.C. to the tune of $26,000. What they found was that it was a one-on-one fight. It wasn't a lie that Winston concocted, the quarterback who claimed that he was jumped and beaten by a plethora of players, of Virginia State players. And it also came out that the Winston Salem players were in there, the bathroom when this incident went down. But again, the Fuller Network, where were they to come up and say, well, these are the findings? They didn't say a word. And you heard today, we had my man Donald Ware from Press Box Press Row, and he was on Outside the Lines. So I told people they need to go check out that presentation he did with Outside the Lines. And I thanked him for at least being fair and partial. He said, we don't know what's going on. But John Dale, the reporter from Winston-Salem Journal, was just clearly in the pocket of Winston-Salem. And as you heard, G, we didn't cut him no slack. That's why I won't have him on my show. You're not going to be fair, you're not going to be open-minded, then you don't need to be on the show. You're going to act like a conservative Republican Tea Party, then what the hell I need you on here for? You can't at least be intellectually honest and look at both sides of the issue.
Well, Dr. Gabriel had the top 10 women and top 10 men.
Yes, sir. I got Virginia State ladies right number one. And when they found out about it, they were excited. They had no idea.
Also, in Division I, it's Anthony Byers, the ladies.
Oh, you know, them girls rolling. Yes, sir. My girls, Hampton, Pirates, yes, sir. They beat up on Virginia Tech and Old Dominion up here in Virginia.
Yeah,
and they're very quiet about that, but we ain't quiet about it because we talk about it. Yes, sir. They be hanging up behind, boy.
Now I wonder if the Hampton ladies run the table, they cannot deny this team again because
last year. It was a farce what they did to them last year. That was a farce.
They do it again this year.
It's a miscarriage. We know that. We all know that. They had no business plan. And then they handed Duke too. They ran right with Duke too.
Yep.
You know, there was a couple of shaky calls. My man, L.A. Badgery was at the game. He had a couple of shaky calls go against him. But I was like, come on, are you serious?
I think we got Michael here. Michael, you here? It's 831. It's 831. This is Florida. 831, are you there?
Okay, can you hear me?
Oh, 831. Gary, you
want to talk
baseball, right?
Well, let's see. I got a couple of NFL things, but I can hold or call back or whatever you want to do.
Oh, go ahead.
Hey, Gary. Yeah, let my man in. I'll step aside. Go ahead and let my man
in. Okay, thank you, guys. Come already, WCLM, 1450, Arkansas, Richmond, Virginia. All right, go ahead, gang.
All right, well, first of all, congratulations on a little over 8 years.
Thank you, my friend.
Yeah, I'm sure it's been a hard way to go, but you're hanging in there. We still got to figure out a way to... taking more calls and more people calling in. You know, it's
what we're doing now is we're networking. It's beginning to pick up more with networking.
Good. Now, are you on WCLM Live now?
I'm on WCLM every 2-3 weeks on the radio show down there at 9:30 in the morning our time.
Okay. Are they gonna carry you live?
Are they gonna carry your
broadcast radio show live?
No, because they have a scheduled programming already. They have their own scheduled programming.
Well, I'm glad you're hanging in there with it, and because you know you sound like you're having a good time, and that's
actually it's a good thing because I get to the Virginia area. It's right by New Jersey, but it's close to the East Coast.
Yeah, there you go. Well, a couple things on the NFL, and I'm a little behind, so you may know more about this, but I think it was about a month and a half ago where the Oakland Raiders. The Oakland Raiders cheerleaders filed a suit against the NFL for.
We got to get into that. The U.S. CEOC is going to investigate the NFL and their cheerleading squad all across the country because they've been getting lower than minimum wage. If they average out all the hours together, they're under minimum wage. And that, I just can't believe that.
So, do you think the NFL is going to kind of try to run from this if they're not doing it already?
Oh, they're already. The NFL has told the Raiders to clean their house.
Yeah.
Meaning, get this thing get out of court because they don't want this to go to court.
Look, if this thing goes to court,
that means all of the cities throughout, even the Dallas Cowgirls.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like to me that it's been a long time brewing anyway, and now it's just coming to the surface.
Well, it took a very assertive young lady to bring this to light, and she knew that once she brought it to light that she could not work anywhere else. She already knew that, but she wanted to get people to play fair. The NFL. These guys get print money. That's how bad it is. These guys are so rich. And to do that to these ladies is shameful. Because, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about here. The Jacksonville Jaguars, who are the worst team in the NFL, before the season starts, they are guaranteed their contract before the season even starts with the radio, TV.
Yeah.
All their contracts are already paid for before the season even starts. And they're a worse team than Nate.
Yeah.
So there's no excuse for this kind of stuff.
Well, I'm no financial expert. I don't have a calculator in front of me, but I've often thought with all the money that the NFL brings in, both in season and off season also, I've often thought that if the NFL wanted to, they could solve our national debt overnight. And still have money left over.
The NFL the whole government Washington D.C. and not her. They can pay the whole, everybody in government in Washington D.C. and not feel how you feel it. That's how big they are. I mean, these guys, America is so sports oriented. That's part of the problem here.
We need to get back to basics.
Sports has become a business. It's not a game anymore. It's a business now. Everybody knows that.
That's why you can't go to a baseball game for $3 anymore.
That's right.
Yankee Stadium.
The bleacher seat.
$32, Gary.
$32 for bleacher seat. Are you kidding me?
And that's just for one seat, right?
Hey, you're way out there in Boomtown. Okay?
Yeah.
The Oakland A's are the lowest in all of baseball.
Yeah.
At $13.50.
Yeah.
The lowest in all of baseball.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. Speaking of the A's, I don't know much of the latest on this one, but I saw something, I think, where I guess the city of San Jose has filed another lawsuit.
Okay. All right. Let's get on right now. The city of Oakland better get that together, or they can lose the Oakland A's, the Golden State Warriors, and the Oakland Raiders within a year. They all get dragged together. The Warriors are going to move across the bay to San Francisco.
Yeah.
All right? The Raiders are looking elsewhere because the stadium is falling apart.
Yeah.
Oakland A's will be in San Jose. It is a matter of time.
The Giants are being jerks.
Because when the A's gave the Giants territorial rights to San Jose, I would never have done it. Back in 1963. The A's gave territorial rights to the Giants. I never would have done that. No way.
Keep the territorial rights?
Yeah.
I would think that would be the last thing they wanted to do.
No, but see, now they want it back, and they can't get it back.
Yeah. Very interesting. So, where are you at this year with... I know you and I have had numerous discussions the last couple of years over, you know, you were pretty strong about, boycotting baseball as far as going to any games or...
Okay. Look, baseball needs to clean up. I've been saying this for the last 3 years. Baseball needs to clean its house from top to bottom. Commissioner Buddy Boy need to go. And he's got 2 more years. Stop it. You're playing games with drug testing. Stop it. You're playing games with salary cap. Please. The New York Yankees are the main corporate, and the Boston Red Sox are the 2 main corporates in this. The Yankees said, we're not going to pay Alex Rodriguez. And turn right around and pay the same money to the Japanese pitcher, for that damn money. That's what's wrong with baseball.
Yeah.
All right, and today, that's what that guy now says. Look, gang, at the beginning of the season, you know who's going to win and you know who's going to lose. It's the only sport that happens. When you know who's going to win, you know who's going to lose. You know the Kansas City Royals are not going to win. You know that the Seattle Mariners are not going to win. You know that.
That's what about it,
so
they know it too.
But you also know that the New York Yankees, the Boston Red Sox, the Atlanta Braves, the LA Dodgers, and St. Louis Cardinals are being playoffs every year. You know that.
Yes.
And that's what's wrong with baseball. That's
so,
why.
Back to my question, though. Are you going to continue to boycott or what?
Well, I go to one game a year, and I don't go. I don't pay a ticket. I ain't going.
Okay.
They. Until you get honest, look. Why do you think football is so popular? Why do you think football is the number one sport in America? It's because everybody can win. Except for two teams.
Yeah.
Everybody can win a Super Bowl. Except for Cleveland. Well, the Browns. And I guess other teams. Well, all of that. They, football, everybody's gotten. Baseball, you know where you stand. In April, you know where you end up.
And, you know, getting back to the Coliseum for a second, the really sad situation about it is, and you know, I don't know where you come down on this, but, I mean, you know, the Coliseum right now, in the shape it's in, it's a minor league facility.
Look, Gary, look, let me know here.
What's sad about it is that there are minor league facilities that are better than the Coliseum.
Look,
so, you know,
they need to blow that thing up. Well, this is what I would do. I would blow up both the arena and the Coliseum together. You put the football thing on one side and the baseball thing on the other side.
And the arena
in the middle.
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, if they don't get it right in the next 3 years, they're gonna lose all three teams.
Yeah. Well, I think you know, going back to the whole drug issue and stuff. I mean, this is all for. You know, all that stuff about testing and, oh, we're doing this. It's all for show, Gary.
Well,
they know what's going on.
Wait. Do you get a real commissioner of baseball?
Yeah.
What's happened is Uncle Bud is going to do what he always wanted to do.
Yeah.
That's why Uncle Bud is working at Ari Rodriguez. They have to have a boogeyman. And right now, Ari Rodriguez is a boogeyman. And the reason why they did this is because they want Ari Rodriguez to erase Barry Bonds' record. Well, guess what? He can't do it. So they turned on him. When they saw that Ari Rodriguez cannot catch Barry Bonds, they turned on him. And that's why they're doing what they're doing to Ari Rodriguez. Not because the baseball drug standard did not exist. It did not exist.
Yeah.
It's a myth. It's a game, Gary. It's not real.
Hey, one more thing and then I gotta jump, but so going back to the issue with the NFL cheerleaders, how do you think that's gonna come out? You think it will? I will still continue to follow the game only because It's in my blood.
Well, no, okay, look, you are a baseball purist. I understand that. That's all good, but baseball need to clean it out.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And people like you need to write to the office, write to the Kansas City and say, you know what, you need to change your ways. Because you as a baseball fan, you feel offended. Gary, you need to write them and tell them how you feel about what's going on.
Yeah.
And more people would do that, the game would change. But as long as people stay silent,
yeah,
and people don't say, they don't continue to make a do.
Well, I got a job, so continued success. And got my vote for commissioner.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, later, man. Take care.
Have a good weekend.
All right, you too, man. Stay dry. It's wet out here.
I am.
Yeah. Okay, we'll be in touch.
All right, take care, bro. All
right, later.
Yeah. men, like Jethro Eagles, OC number 2, Goodman College Wildcats, number 2, the Southern Jaguars drag down in the Titans, number 3, the Hampton Pirates are hosting the Howard Bison tonight. Number 4, Alabama St. Hornets, Mississippi Valley State. Number 5, the Norfolk State Spartans at the Morgan, Norfolk State Spartans at the Morgan State Bears. Number 5, on the women's side, number 1, and streaking, Hampton Pirates. The Howard Bison, and this will be 3 years in a row the Hampton Birds, Lady Birds, will win the MEAC, hands down. Now, my question to the NCAA, be fair, give them a 13th or 12th seed. These ladies deserve it. We'll see what happens. Number 2, the Southern Jaguars will be at Grambling State Lady Tigers. Number 3, the Southern at Prairie View A&M. Number 4, the struggling Nogai Anti Aggies. Lady Aggies have lost 3 of their last 4 games. They host the Florida A&M Rattlers tonight. Number 5, Savannah State tonight. All right, there you guys, top 5 HBCUs schools. North Carolina Central Eagles, number 1 on the men's side. Hampton Pirates, Lady Pirates, number 1 on the ladies' side. Yes, yes. Let me move on to the regular NCAA Division 1. It's Syracuse, number 1, the Arizona Wildcats, number 2, the Florida Gators, number 3, and the Wichita State Wheatsuckers, and the Missouri Valley, Wheatsuckers, only 2 undefeated teams left. That's Syracuse and Wichita State. On Thursday, the Bearcats of Cincinnati beat up on Huskies of UConn. We got the mighty Oba. The mighty Oba going to see if we can talk. Hey, Matt
Freeman. What's up there?
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Okay. I was about the Hall of Fame. A couple of your players got the Hall of Fame this year.
Yeah, he did. But, you know, the NFL changed the way that they would announce the Hall of Fame. And
yes,
I was not allowed to cover the Hall of Fame announcement this year at the Super Bowl because they only allowed national media to cover the announcement. And the NFL Honors Program that they've created, and they've now incorporated the Hall of Fame announcement into that. So I was not allowed to be there to see Andre get announced, you know, publicly that he was going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. Somewhat disappointing. You know, and as I've said many times about this year's Super Bowl, it was a disaster. And
you were there. Tell people what happened in New York.
It was terrible. The logistics were awful. Traffic was an absolute nightmare. They spread things out. People in the New York, New Jersey area, rather than planning the Super Bowl in one centralized area, they tried to give everybody a piece of the pie, and that made it a logistical nightmare. And then New York wasn't even a very good Super Bowl. You wouldn't know the Super Bowl was in New York. I mean, it didn't have a Super Bowl flavor whatsoever.
Well,
and,
my, My question to you is that I think New Jersey got to do this thing.
Say that again, Gary.
I think the New Jersey guys are joining the thick of the day because I think New York got all the money and New Jersey got nothing.
Right. New York, most of the events were in New York City, when really the entire Super Bowl should have been centered around Jersey.
New Jersey,
To tell you honestly, the whole Super Bowl could have been done from Jersey as the... you know, the seat of it, but they had to appease New York.
Yeah.
And that made it a disaster, you know, and I thought...
Well, do you think this is like a payback for 9/11?
Say that again, Gary.
Do you think that this is a payback for 9/11?
Well... I think it was more payback from the financing of that stadium. I'm sure that 9/11 had something to do with it. But they weren't going to allow the public financing of that stadium, which a lot of money came out of New York City,
right,
to go have a Super Bowl and it'd be totally centered in New Jersey.
Right.
And... that's how the corporate politics dictated how this Super Bowl was laid out. If it would,
right.
If it was laid out the way it could have been done, the entire thing could have been done from Jersey, and it probably would have been a very viable Super Bowl. But because of the way they laid it out, it was not.
Yeah. I had a real problem with that because New York got all the glamour and glitter in New York, and the game was only in New Jersey. That was it.
Right. It was the way they laid it out had just so much politics and corporate sponsorship dictating it. It made it a logistical nightmare, and. One of the worst things that I cited in the article was how the NFL once again snubbed the birthplace of hip hop, and they claimed that the halftime show was dedicated to New York. Well, you brought in Bruno Mars, and I read out the Chili Peppers. I don't see how that's dedicated to New York City.
Yeah. We got Michael Lewis Ingram on the line. We got Donnie McClain too. Is that right?
That's it, bro. What's up, G? What's up, Pat?
What up, Mike?
Hey, bro.
Hey, Lars.
I want to go on about the money New Jersey did not get. Also, I have an 831. Is that 831 on here?
Yeah,
guys. Well, Gary, since you brought it up, if I can add something to it, because I had a chance to think about what Pat said, because we were talking about this as well on the tree.
Right.
Jersey didn't make as much money because Jersey was already getting money. And I say this in the manner of Jersey had been always getting money from New York because the big elephant in the room that nobody wanted to talk about was that New York City could have allowed table games and gambling a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, they always wanted to call it politics and stonewalling, but the real deal was Jersey was paying New York to not have table games. Now, right as of current, as we speak right now, at least in the city proper, outside of it, in Yonkers, they had slots and, you know, but no dice, no poker, no physical roulette. Everything was computer. Now that the referendum's been passed in New York City, there's going to be a concerted effort to boost Sullivan County, which is further down from where Pat is, and
right.
Monticello Raceway. They're going to turn that into a racino.
Mm-hmm.
Pat, I think up where you are, Vernon Downs already has gambling, correct?
I'm not sure, Mike.
Okay.
I would assume most of the racetracks up here.
Vernon Downs and Buffalo Raceway have slots, I think, at the very least.
Right.
But
yes,
all of this is to say this,
slot.
Because the gambling aspect is the one thing that the NFL always wants everybody to pretend that he ain't got no, that they have nothing to do with, when essentially they do have everything to do with it. You think about how much money was taken in on the Super Bowl. The casinos in North America alone, I'm not talking about Ladbrokes in London, I'm not talking about the Asian casinos, anywhere else, because this is, remember, everybody's betting on this. The casinos in North America cleared $20 million. That's clean money. You can't imagine how much other money underneath the table was in there. And let's remember, the first bet was made 12 seconds, well, the first bet was paid 12 seconds into the game. The safety paid 40 to 1.
Yep.
And I know of at least one person that bet $200 on a safety. That's $8,000. Do you truly think with $8,000 in that person's pocket, they're going to give a rat's ass what the score is at the end of the night?
Yeah. I have a Getty Bregner. Are you there? Getty Bregner, 831. Getty, you there? 831.
Yeah.
Hello, hey. Getty.
What did you find out by 1955?
Okay, guys, I have a question about 1955 to 1955 Dodgers.
Yeah.
Who would have won, though? Was that the 1955 Dodgers?
Uh-huh.
Okay, what I found out was there are only nine guys left.
Uh-huh.
As Bob Bukowski, Roger Craig, Carl Erskine, Sandy Koufax, Tommy Lasorda, Don Newcomb, Ed Roebuck, George Guba, and Don Zimmer. The last
was like Don Newcomb.
Don Newcomb is alive. Yeah, Don Newcomb is alive.
Yeah.
Only nine left. The last guy that died was Deuce Niner.
What about Sammy Ambrose?
No, they're all gone. I guess he wasn't alive.
Okay.
Only nine left.
Only nine.
Yeah, out of 32.
And that includes Don Newcomb, too.
He's 85 years old.
Don Newcomb?
Yeah, 85.
Okay. What about the King situation? The King family? You know,
I don't know what, Bernice King has two of the items. When we put in the King tribute, but I don't know. The brothers are after it. It's a very bad situation. Michael, do you know anybody that the King took?
All I know is there's been a money / power grab inside the King family for a long time. And I think the issue had to do with some of his items being auctioned off. And there's a movement of folks who don't want to see it happen. But obviously, for whatever reason, it's happening. So the long and short of it has to do with the fact that, you know, stuff is going on and folks aren't being upfront about it. But underneath it all, that's really what the deal is. You know, it may come down to something just as simple as money. But obviously, when someone who is given so much, like Dr. King, his things or whatever it is that matters gets dwindled down to a material thing like that, there's a bigger issue that we haven't touched base on that, and that smacks us right in the middle of our culture, and we can't ignore that. And I think the faction that's looking to make sure that doesn't happen understands this is beyond the normal mantra of what we say on both our shows about us telling our own stories. This is about our culture being stolen from us because it's up for the highest bidder, just like BET was. you know, it's just like TV1 was. All of those things.
Show that.
Yeah.
Let's show that.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, we had the people. I got to step up and say, me being a dual coach, the issue I want to bring up, Michael's here, I want to bring up this issue about the Michigan City, Detroit.
Right.
This man is an elected official, and this elected official said that he wanted to turn the city of Detroit into a reservation, right? And feed him corn. Now, this guy is an elected official saying this. My answer to that is everybody in the Gold Caravan, Soul Patrol, Land Nation, and WCLM need to call this guy Monday morning and ring the phone off the hook. His name
it's worse
is,
than that.
His name is, what's the guy's name?
I think it's Patterson, if I remember right.
L. Brooks Patterson.
Yeah, Gary, if I may, this person, L. Brooks Patterson, what he said, because I didn't get the whole statement. When I heard about the corn part, that really pissed me off. Because there's an issue with corn in this country. The Monsanto has compromised the corn crop with genetically modified ingredients that will not make the corn as nutritious for us as people think, because the insecticide that they use to kill the parasites in it never really leaves the corn itself. And corn, if I may just go on for a little bit scientifically, corn is something that's a monocotyledon plant. Now, when I say monocotyledon, that means it's only one seed. Stuff like lima beans, that's dual cotyledon. You'll see you can split a lima bean in half and both sides can grow. You can't do that with an ear of corn. That's why, and I'm not trying to be graphic when I say this, sometimes when we eat an ear of corn, you find kernels coming out of you know where because it can't digest all the way through. Now, having said that, the long and short of this is we had been fucking with corn for a long time, excuse my language, because corn was our surplus crop. We knew no matter what happened with any other crop, we always had surpluses of corn. As a matter of fact, farmers were being paid to not grow corn, you know, for a good while. So now we've got this corn. They've done this Dr. Frankenstein number on it. And for him to say to feed the Indians corn, that's not just an insulting. That's a genocidal statement. Everybody knows what Native Americans have gone through in this country. You know, their Holocaust, in the mind of some, could argue way above what happened to black people. And we've been through stuff, you know, way beyond the 6 million that Jews always like to trumpet out when they want people to never forget. But having said these things, that this man would say this, it goes to the identity politics issue that we brought up previously in the tree. It doesn't matter what color the person is that's saying it. It's the people who are affected by it. So it's not even a racial thing. This is all class. And that most of these Native American brothers and sisters live in poverty, live in forced areas like reservations where they really can't see anything or see their way out of it because there's self-destruct stuff going on within the res. This is genocidal. He's just essentially saying, let's accelerate killing these sons of bitches as quickly as possible. So it's not a flip statement. It's not some kind of, well, I misspoke kind of statement. Because we talked about Detroit needs to use that space that they've got for homesteaders, for people who fought for our country. Have them buy or give them property and give them time equivalent with their time of service to build homes there, to develop a lifestyle there, and then pay taxes because they've earned the right for that. But they're not going to do anything like that because Chinese are buying up huge tracts of land in that same area as we speak. And we don't know what they're going to use them for, but it doesn't matter. You know, we are China's bitch because they've bought up a lot of what we have. So we're in debt to them. We're in debt to the Japanese. It's not even our land. So for this fool to even say that, proof positive that he's pandering to a certain group And well, again, it's got nothing to do with color. It's people who are handling him or who have promised him something.
Well, I go to the office. I go to the office on Friday, and it's really interesting. It's like, oh, thank you, goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm gonna call again Monday. Look, all you Gold Caravan people.
Mm-hmm.
All you, my soul patrollers, Pan Nation, call them Monday morning. Number 248-858-0480. L. Brooke Patterson is the name. He needs to be called out. This is a complete disgrace. Sit there and say that as an elected official, it's this country has to shape up and ship out because we cannot have people saying stuff like this about any other culture. I want to move on to the Vallejo School. You're here. I'm very happy to know. And the Vallejo School District had dropped the Apache name, and they would be known as the Redhawks. The Washington Football Club, sooner or later, is going to get the message. Only a matter of time. The school board of Vallejo changed the name from Apache to Redhawks. And people are now protesting. That's okay. The name is changed now. We can't say anything about it. And the Washington Football Club is talking to get bigger and bigger every day. Huh. What do you think, Mike?
Well, it's baby steps to the minds of a lot of people.
Yeah.
But this came with a lot of concerted effort. Because of the pressure in large part for the Washington Football Club to change their name, for the other schools that had already made a change, like Stanford University, you know, from the Indians to the Cardinal, from Dartmouth University to the Big Green, from St. John's University, from the Redmen to the Red Storm, you know, the acknowledgement that teams that had names like the Seminoles and Florida State did so with the permission of the tribe. And it represented the tribe, like the Illinois, the Illini, the Illiniquic Indians. All of these things are done in concert. So it wasn't like it was a pandering of it. It was done with their blessing. You know, the Super Bowl spot that didn't come on regarding Native brothers and sisters saying, we call ourselves a lot of things, but the one thing we don't call ourselves is that R word. So we knew that wasn't going to make the Super Bowl rotation. But it just goes to show just how far they'll go to make their point. So this trickle-down effect is helpful so that some schools will allow common sense to take precedence over false pride about the name of their school and what it means.
I'm very, very pleased that the Vallejo High School District did what they've done.
Mm-hmm.
I think it says a message to all entities, college, professional, and high school. What's happened is I've gone through a couple of names, gone through a couple of states, and the one that changed the quickest, the one that changed the fastest have been high schools. Second ones have been colleges. The last ones have been professionals.
Gary, that makes sense because from a financial standpoint, the high schools have less to lose in the issue from a dollar standpoint.
Yes.
You know, colleges were of course, forced to. They would have to consider, well, not necessarily from an ethical standpoint, but from a dollar standpoint, branding, all those other things.
Right.
That's where it would matter to them. So, yeah, the high schools would be first in line to do this. It makes a lot of sense. I'm sorry I have to go on all this, but I don't know if you've talked about the Olympics, but I want to throw this in the pot for the rest of the Cove Caravan. It's interesting now. Everybody knows the Olympics, the Winter Olympics has started over in Sochi. And, you know, you got water that looks like Gatorade coming out of the pipes.
Yes.
You know, I could say it looks like something else, but we'll go with Gatorade. And, you know, there are issues where it's dormitory style. They've got two toilets literally in the bathroom. So, you know, you and I could be talking next door to each other, next to each other, and literally shooting the you-know-what, but that's a whole other story. You can't wipe your butt because the piping won't allow for the paper to go down without stuff clogging up. So unless they've got scented cans in there and none of us, you know, didn't get diarrhea, you know, we'd be in serious trouble. Now, I'm not trying to be deliberately graphic, but I'm making a point because on one of the radio talk shows here in Philadelphia, some jackass had the nerve to say, well, why don't we have one here in America? Well, you had a chance to have one 5 years ago, you SOB, because when the president tried to get a Olympics or World Cup here, he got blocked. He got blocked big time by even the own Olympic Committee blocked him. And everyone around the world blocked him. And I want people to really grasp this because as unlikely as it seemed that a black man ascended to the presidency here, it scared the crap out of everyone else everywhere because it was a reminder to them that the world is getting darker and that it got dark here a lot quicker than they ever thought that it would. Never mind his personal policies and whether you agree with his politics or not, this was not supposed to happen here because it damn sure ain't going to happen in Germany. You're never going to see a black person become chancellor of Germany. You know, you're never going to see the king of Sweden, you know, have dark skin. And, of course, France being as fractious as it is with the North African brothers over there, you ain't going to see one rise from the ashes of all of this to become Premier of France or Prime Minister of the U.K. So this freaked out everybody across the water. And the first thing he would have done had he been successful with that, he would have had jobs for everybody in that Rust Belt. So Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, Minnesota, Ohio, Pennsylvania. Hell, it might even have expedited work for where Brother Freeman is doing his thing in Western New York. The bottom line is there would have been jobs in effect, and whatever he would have done with his health plan or health care plan would have been a cherry on top of the sundae. The fact that he got stifled caused all this other stuff and led everybody to believe among those who were trying to control this situation that this black man cannot succeed at any level. And I have to leave it there, and I have to go, but I want to say everybody to the everyone in the Cove Caravan, thank you so much for indulging and taking in my show when, you know, you're not listening to Gary's and vice versa. Have a great weekend. We're going to do our normal music therapy show, and Gary's going to be in tune with me for Valentine's Day weekend. Looking forward to that. So have a great weekend. Please go safe. I'll talk to you all soon. Take care.
Michael Ingram, so ready to roll, drill, but 2 hours before me, we take a break.
Nobody has to know.
Raven, Marty Joe, that R. Kelly, down low. Yeah, down low. Okay, my ladies, not bold, not by, but the Yukon Lady Huskies. Number 2, Notre Dame. Number 3, Denver. Number 4, Louisville. Number 5, Duke, Lady Blue Devils. The Huskies and Lady Play Iris are only 2 undefeated teams on the ladies' side. And they will meet in conference play. They will not meet in conference play. They had to meet. They were in the old division and Notre Dame moved out. The only time they will meet is if they go to the NCAA. Okay. Denver moved to number 3 with a double victory over the Golden Bears. One's at Palo Alto, one's at Berkeley. They play Washington this weekend up in Washington. I don't think I'm moving around with the weather. The weather's so bad out there. It's snowing out there in Washington this weekend. The Duke Lady Blue Devils out of the fifth. And they lose their game over the weekend. And then Sunday. At WCLS, it's a big up. It's Sunday. The Huskies will play the Cardinals. And both are undefeated in conference play. The Louisville Cardinals and the UConn Huskies will meet this Sunday. It's on ESPN. Check it out. In the Pac-12, you can't sleep on those ladies, the Devils. Right behind the Cardinals and the Valley. In the Valley, the Lady with the Lady Tuckers are following the men and they're undefeated in conference. In the ACC, it's the big two, Duke and Notre Dame. They have the ladies' basketball news of the week. Can't believe the Weed Tuckers, both ladies and men, are going to go to the playoffs. Both strong as it seems like 1939 all over again. As Indiana State did the same thing some 30 years ago. So good luck to Wichita State, Weed Tuckers. And they move on with 3 weeks to go in the season. Remain undefeated. Let's see. I know that the hockey, there'll be no more hockey for 3 weeks and they go to Sochi Russia for 3 weeks. Tonight is the last night of hockey. So check out your local hockey network. See the last game for 3 weeks. The ladies in the PGA. And ladies are off this week. The men are at ATT Pebble Beach. They might not get in because it rains so much. There are no tennis matches and no NASCAR. They have the news. Thursday night, NBA. NBA, since we can do this right. Coach Popovich understands 82-game season. in need of short diseases. Above us, resting stars, the book that has beat the dead of us first. 1389. The Golden Gate Warriors are slowly 15 points behind, but they came back to beat the Chicago Bulls. As they employed the Martinez in defense, they beat the Bulls well to 87. So, there you have it for the Grand Gold this week. Reminder, love fest all day Sunday at 4 o'clock Pacific time. First hour will be old school, second hour will be new school. Hope you enjoyed the show. Let's get New Jersey in here. Let's get New Jersey up in here. New Jersey, what's up?
Hello.
Hey, doing? What's going on?
Oh, we still have snow.
Again?
Well, no, not really. It's the last blizzard that we had. It's still around. The ground is covered. It's a little less, though. But what I wanted to ask you, and I'm not sure that you covered this, but the Olympics started yesterday?
Yeah, last night.
Oh, last night. And a non-sports person made this comment today that it was boring. The opening was very boring. I didn't see it because I wasn't at home. But
it's boring. You know why it's boring? Let me tell you why it's boring. And very limited number of countries. In the summer games, there are over 200 countries in the summer games. In the winter games, there are only 80. That tells you right there.
Ooh.
And now people are covered. Many people are covered. That's why it's boring.
Okay. Well, I'm surprised.
You don't see black people go out tobogganing. You don't see black people skiing and skating. You don't see black people do all kinds of weird things. We don't do that.
Well, I thought there was a young man that did the speed skating.
Yeah, he's John Day Davis. And John Davis, if he wins the gold medal, he'll be the first one to do three dimes.
Oh, okay.
He'll be the first person of color to do that. Oh, yes.
So the events in the winter Olympics basically are skate. Well, it has to do with snow and ice, right?
All snow.
Okay. They'd do fine here.
Well, like Michael said earlier, America had a chance to get the same, and because of who the president was, they undermined it. The Olympics could be in Chicago right now. But because of the Republican Party, it's in Russia. So people start thinking about what they're doing. I mean, this is complete utter nonsense.
Well, we learned by our mistakes. Hopefully they learned.
Well, we got our athlete now in Russia in arm's way because we know there's a threat, a security threat from the Southern Caucasus of Russia.
Mm.
They, but, but, but because of our American politics, that's why we're here. People need to understand this kind of nonsense.
Okay. Well, I don't really understand politics as such, but it sounds like it was a political move.
It was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, can you imagine that being in Gary, Indiana? Can you imagine what that doing?
Thank you.
of a black guy sleep. The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black guy sleep. The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black guy sleep. The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black guy sleep. The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat.
Jack Johnson, a heavyweight champion in 1910, fought the best of American men. And the fourth of the century took place on Independence Day, and the first was 100 G's to pay. The most eagerly awaited event in American history, Jack Johnson versus Jim Jeffrey. Nothing Frederick Douglass ever did, nothing Booker T ever did, shocked the world like this did. The great white hope came tumbling down, beaten and bruised, knocked out in the 15th round. Muhammad Ali, the greatest heavyweight champion of all time,
of a black guy sleep, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat.